Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up, share what we've been loving recently, whether it's something we've been reading, listening to, watching, or something else entirely. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant for things that are going on right now. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe, follow us, share it with anyone that you know. And we'll always be grateful because that's how the podcast grows. I'm getting distracted because I can see Helly absolutely like creasing up laughing halfway through the intro. How are you doing? How is life in Vietnam?
It's okay. In the full interest of transparency, I was saying this to you before, feel very weird. Feels like the end of an era. So we're about to leave. It's just a lot, excited to leave, but also sad to leave. Hopefully getting Taylor's visa, but obviously nervous about that and going back to the States, and we'll be doing a lot of emotional things there. And then wedding planning, which is obviously exciting, but it can only happen if everything falls into place with the visa. It's just a lot of stuff. It's a pivotal moment in life, and there's not a lot I can do about it, but it is still nerve-wracking.
Kind of like
So,
you're standing on the edge and you're going to have to jump, and it's going to be fine, but
I know
still got
logically
to
it
jump.
is.
You've still got to
It's
take the
just
jump.
like we've lived this life for 5 years, and this is the way that we've been for 5 years, and it's just a lot of change, a lot of big things change, which we are really looking forward to. I said to Taylor last night when I had a little breakdown at the table in the restaurant, I was
Love
like,
it.
what if I'm not good at living this way of life? It was like
What?
I
I know we love an
just
irrational worry,
thought,
but
I know. I think there's a lot of unstuff to pack there, which is honestly above the pay grade of the podcast. But
yeah.
fundamentally, we are excited. I mean, a big part of this is because we just want to be closer to friends and family. Like, we're at the stage now where it's just something that's really important to our lives. So it
Yeah.
is fundamentally a good thing. It's just going to be 6 weeks of really, really big changes. And it's a lot to know is coming. When there's a lot of change, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Just
But
going to recommend that you block a week out at the start of May, end of April for you to get sick.
oh, 100%.
So,
I
'cause
already
that's
know
going
it's
to
coming.
happen. That's going to happen. So
Yeah.
maybe just like pre-plan for that.
That is a very, very good point. Yeah. Here's me planning to see everyone and do everything the second we get back into the UK, like late April, early May. Don't even know what date we'll be back yet. But yeah, should probably factor in an illness week there just to let things catch up with me.
Yeah, just not that I know you, but
I mean, it is, touch wood, a massive miracle that I have not been ill yet
oh
in
God,
2024.
no, why have you said that? We are 9 weeks
Because
in and you've just jinxed
we
it.
are. And I was ill 6 times in the 2.5, 3 months preceding the end of the year. So the fact we're 9 weeks in, I'm already very proud.
I'm proud of you, but also I'm now just very worried for you.
It's fine. It's all fine. Don't put that out in the universe. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Thrilled that it's becoming more springy. Just like being able to get up earlier in the morning again. Oh my God, it's so lovely. It's so
Yeah.
lovely. It makes such a difference. And I spent yesterday, I went down and saw my dad, and we spent loads of time going through like old family albums. Like when I say old, I mean like 1800s old. This is honestly like it was the most fascinating thing. But it's also made me realize that like you really take for granted that people know who people are. And what I mean by that is we were going through these albums and me and my dad are like, we don't know who any of these people are in these photos. Like they weren't labeled. Label your photos, people. Label your goddamn photos. Tell us when, tell us where, tell us who. I do this. Just for the record, in the back of my photo albums. But we found like these photos of my gran's mum and her like girlfriends going to like Alton Towers. This is obviously not the theme park Alton Towers, just like Alton Towers is like a place, as in like the actual house. And we found like them all going on these like fun weekends away, and like it was just so lovely to like
So cute.
that bit of history.
I
Now I'm
love that.
completely obsessed with my great grandmother. just really cool to see all these photos and stuff. So that was lovely.
Did make me think, like, we have all of these digital, like, storage of our photos. How, like, well, this is really morbid, but like, is there going to be a way in the future for like our great grandchildren to access our old, I don't know, Google Photos or Apple Photos? Because if they're all on there, like mine are, I mean, they're all labeled with people's faces digitally, but they're not
Yeah.
all in photo albums. That's definitely, my God, I wonder what that's going to be in the future.
I guess like
A weird
part of
thought.
our wills would be bequeathing. Bequeathing, is that the right word? Bequeath.
My Google Drive. My
Bequeath.
Google Drive.
Yeah, like access to, like you assign someone to be your password person so that they have the
Oh,
right to
yeah.
access it. But I do try, actually, I need to do my 2023 one. I might do that. Oh, I might add that to my little list of things to do today. Order all of my prints to put into a photo album because I've got.
That's a nice task.
So I've
It's a
got
feel
one
good
from
task.
like the mid 80s up until about 2003, 2004, which is just like my childhood, like old photos, like photos before I was born of my parents, all of that sort of thing. And then I've
Yeah.
done one every year since. I think 2019 might be the first year I have because there's a photo in it of us four the day you told us you were moving to Australia. And I've written on the back, Helly told us she was moving to Australia.
Oh, God.
Because I thought if anyone
Why
looks at these in the future, they need to know the pain we were all in.
do they all look like they've been crying? What a
We
sad
all do
group.
look like we've been crying.
Yeah,
But yeah,
I
that's pretty much all I've been doing, and it's really fun. I've become really into family history, and now I want to go like onto who do you think you are. I said to Dad yesterday, like maybe one of us just needs to become really famous, do who do you think you are, and get all of the researchers to do it for us.
mean, you could sign up for that, like, I don't know what the UK want, like Ancestry.
Ancestry. We've already done that. We go back to 1804 on our ancestry on my grand side of family. But like if there's then photos that like my grand's mum is in, but then we don't know anyone else, we've got no one to ask the question of. So, but we are deep into the world of ancestry. But anyway, what have you been reading, watching, listening, loving in the past week?
My recommendation is a book, and it's been out for a few years. I actually think it's 2021, and it's called The Lamplighters by Emma. I'm going to say it's Stonex, but it might be Stonex. It's literally the word stone with an X on the end. And I actually didn't realize until I finished it that it is based on a true story that happened on an island off the coast of Ireland. But it's set between two different dates, 1972 and 1992. And in Cornwall in 1972, these three lighthouse keepers vanish off a tower lighthouse that's off the coast. And the clocks have stopped, both clocks in there have stopped at 8:45, and the door is locked from the inside. And the storm logs show that there was a storm. People on land didn't experience that storm. So they have no idea what's happened, and then the company that owns like all of the lighthouses in the area, basically they try and investigate, and then they're basically like, we don't want any more coverage of this. We will pay the they assume they're dead, they put on a funeral, they pay the widows, you never even know what happened, but they pay the wives and girlfriends for the rest of their lives to basically just be quiet and carry on, even though they never actually know what happened. So it jumps between the last few days of their time on the lighthouse, at like the men's time on the lighthouse in 1972 and 1992, when the three women are approached by an author who basically wants to dig into what happened and see if he can find the truth. And it is really, really fascinating. And at first, I was like, God, there's going to be a supernatural element in this, and I just can't deal with that. Like,
Yeah,
it
I'm
kind of
not
irks me when that's put in there as like a solution. There is not. There is sort of like a suggestion, but I guess it's the more of like the mythology that's associated with the sea, and like, I guess, like a lot of things, like the sea takes on a mind of its own, and she is powerful, and she has all of this, yeah, whatever. It's really, really fascinating how she's written this book and how she jumps between the two times to explain, but neither side ever really. The men's side takes place entirely on the lighthouse, so they are always away from the mainland. And the women are always looking back on what happened at the time through obviously the lens of being 20 years later. It's just really interestingly done. The last half of it I basically devoured in a day because I was just, I had to know what happened. So yeah, definitely recommend giving it a read.
I love that. That sounds fascinating. I'm going to put it on my list. And please, there's not a huge supernatural element because I'm similar. I kind of find that a bit, I don't know, I find it hard to get my head around. Like, don't get me wrong. Don't get this is like the weirdest start to it. Don't get me wrong, I believe in ghosts. Like, as in, like, I'm convinced our flat is, I don't want to say haunted because I think it's a friendly ghost of the woman who used to live here. She died in the house. Like, the house was then converted into flats. Like, and I'm not,
You are right now.
yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so the
Oh my
woman died
God.
in this house, and then they sold the house. It was bought by the people who developed it, and then it was turned into flats. So sometimes I feel like I can feel her. Anyway, everyone now listening to this is like, oh God. I'm very loosely spiritual, but saying the sea has mermaids in it is sometimes just a bit far for me.
Yeah, no, it's a lot like, it's not like that. And I know what you mean. I'm always kind of like, I think there's probably something. And I think it's like sometimes comforting to think that there is something to a certain
Yes.
extent. And that is kind of the angle that this book, I'm not going to give any more away, but that I guess that is more of the route that it goes down. There's no mermaids. Don't worry about that. There's no
Yeah,
like
if that was in the
sea
Pisces, I
creatures
always
coming out of the
struggle with
sea.
that when there's a merman in the Pisces. I always kind of
Yeah.
also mentally
Yeah.
the idea of a mermaid or a merman and their flappy little slimy tail. Ooh, no. Stresses me. Really stresses me. Anyway,
Your recommendation.
I've stolen your format that you did last week about two true crime documentaries that have a common theme. These aren't two
Ooh.
true, oh my God, two true crime documentaries, but they do have a similar theme. So I basically didn't want to recommend them over 2 weeks because I thought there were too many similarities in the theme. So this week we watched Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me on Netflix, which is a documentary that looks at the life and death of Anna Nicole Smith. So she died in 2007, I want to say, and she was only 40 years old, but she was a model. She was very well known as being like a Playboy playmate. She was an actress. And it looked at her life and how she was portrayed in the media and how the media spoke about her. She says how, like, she saw the kind of rise of Pamela Anderson and wanted to be the next Pamela Anderson. Obviously, that's a point in pop culture history, and we're both very interested in. It looks at her childhood and how she got to that point and ultimately what caused her death. And my God, her life is tragic. No other word. So many truly horrendous things happened, but it interviews really key people in her life, and it kind of unravels in the way she told the story, and then at the end, it's like almost a summary of the truth. So I watched that, and it's fascinating and really interesting to see how she kind of got into that world. And then we were having a conversation the other day about Crystal Hefner. And I also listened to her audiobook. It was released a couple of weeks ago, called Only Say Good Things. And it looks at her, the 10 years she spent living in the Playboy Mansion, her life as a playmate, being promoted to a girlfriend, and then ultimately Hugh Hefner's wife. And she is Hugh Hefner's widow. So it looks at how she met him, her time in the mansion, the level of kind of manipulation. She gives a very balanced review of that time, I think. She says how she promised to only say good things. That was like the mantra they were all told. You only say good things. And in fairness to her, she does say a lot of good things. Like, she takes a lot of ownership and responsibility over getting to that point and becoming Hugh Hefner's wife. But she's also very honest about the manipulation and the gaslighting and the level of control that someone else had over her life, and the narrative that Hugh Hefner was this great, like, visionary who was all about liberation and sexuality and being who you want to be, whereas actually that was very why can't I say words today? Juxtaposed? Juxtaposed?
Yeah,
It was a real
juxtaposed, yeah.
juxtaposition to how he actually treated people and what the reality was. Again, it there's about a third of the book is all about her childhood and pre-Playboy, which feels like quite a lot, but I think it really does explain why she moved into the mansion. And there's always that narrative whenever you hear about women in any like factor of kind of sex work and that sort of world is like, well, they're adults, they made that choice. And she kind of says, yeah, I did. But also it's not as black and white as that.
Yeah.
Both of these pieces really examine, like critically looking back, like how the media have spoken about women, the role that they themselves played in those unrealistic beauty standards, and how actually we can't be so quick to judge. That was the really big thing I took away, is like before you sit there and judge, just think about how someone got to that point. You know the expression, like if you'd lived their life, you'd make the same choices. That felt really pertinent. Also just particularly Crystal's audiobook, absolutely fascinating, some of the details. And I won't spoil it, but I would really recommend both, 100%.
Yeah, because I know we spoke about the book. I've not read it. I think I saw the reason why I looked into it is because I can't remember who it was, but it was another one of the playmates, and she was basically like slating the book, saying like, oh, if she didn't like it, why didn't she just leave? And even having not read the book, I was like, this just feels like you're still playing into that narrative
Do you know
of,
which
oh, well, it was
playmate it
totally in
was?
her control. I'd have to find the article.
So Crystal talks a lot about like the way that playmates were pitted against each other, because you have like playmates, then you have girlfriends, and they like fully live in the mansion, and then you have the wife, and it's like, and it's so interesting. She was talking about how she wasn't in love with Hugh Hefner. It was more complicated than that. One thing I would say, massive trigger warning, both of these things talk about sexual assault, they talk about rape, they talk about grief and really like horrendous loss. They talk about drug addiction, they talk about eating disorders. Like there's a lot of very heavy themes in both of these. I wouldn't say they were light things to consume, but they are very interesting, and I think we're now starting to see that generation of women come and be honest about that period of time. Like when you think of Paris Hilton, Pamela Anderson, obviously Pamela was a bit earlier, but like that sort of world.
Yeah.
And I'm really here for hearing the truth.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we were saying, I like girls at school having Playboy pencil cases, me having like a Playboy notepad, and just not even knowing what that meant because it just got like such, it just became such a normal, like, of course, 10-year-old me just thought it was like a cute bunny in pink. Like, I just think you don't, it became such a weirdly like normalized part of culture. No one really even thought to question it. And then you have like the media angle and the expectations of like women's like body, like image and looks and stuff. I just think all of that made it just seem like the whole thing was so normal. And then now you look back on it and you're like, sorry, what? Like, yeah.
Honestly, I think
Mean,
you would really
hindsight's
enjoy it.
2020, isn't it?
Yeah. I listened to the audiobook on 0.1.2 on what speed? Like 1.25 or 1.5 speed. So it only took about 5.5, 6 hours to listen to. I say
Oh.
that because that's something that puts me off an audiobook. If it's like 20 hours long, I'm like, no, this is just a
Oh my
couple of
God.
chunky podcast episodes.
Okay. I do need to give that a read.
You do, please. This week's topic, I'm so excited to discuss. I feel like actually there's almost like an element of a theme here from like going from the way that the world was in the early noughties for women talking about today's topic, because we want to dive into the idea of the quote unquote wellness girly and whether the wellness girly is the new girl boss. Like we've spoken about girl boss before, haven't we? We've kind of had that conversation about like dismantling it
Yeah.
and how it's evolved into a very different world, but it fundamentally started from a good place. It feels like wellness may be the new version of that. The Every Girl did an article about this about, I must have been about 4 or 5 months ago now, but I sent you that article. And ever since then, we've kind of circled back to this conversation. But it's an interesting one.
I definitely think there's, I mean, they're both trends at the end of the day, right? They've become trends online, on social media, and I think they are very much both a product of their time, just in
Oh,
very
yeah.
different ways. And especially like Girl Boss, I mean, Sophie Amoruso, and the whole idea of like women taking control, like seizing control of their careers and being business owners, and that kind of almost felt like part of the fourth wave of feminism, like a sort of spin-off of seizing that, as like everyone knew that men dominated workspaces, and it became this narrative for women to take hold of. Obviously, now it's been totally torn down and kind of, I guess, reevaluated. And I do feel like now other things have taken, it didn't start from a bad place, and I don't think wellness
No.
girly either is coming from a bad place at all, but they are very specific types of trends.
I think that's the thing for me is that they're so specific. Like there's a way to prescribe to subscribe, sorry. My God, I need a coffee, clearly. But there are ways to subscribe to that wellness trend that remind me of how you had to subscribe to a certain version of the girl boss. Like the girl boss, you had to kind of be that Devil Wears Prada style woman. You had to be hustling, you had to have the side hustle, you had to constantly be working. Work was your identity, your value was almost based on how hard you work to be in the first one in, the last one out. And the wellness girly is kind of, she is always on in that wellness world. She's getting up at 5 a.m. and she has her greens and she does her meditation and she does her journaling and she does her hot girl walk or her reformer Pilates, and she wears a specific type of active wear set. And similar to the girl boss, she looks a very specific way. It's a very heteronormative, slim white woman who is the face of this. And there is a part of me that can look at it objectively and go, if we are all more aware of how important our well-being as a whole is, that is fundamentally a good thing. Just as you said, feeling empowered, having the confidence to go and pursue a successful career, that is a good thing. But it makes me kind of, I guess, cringe or like, ooh, I'm not sure when you see one very specific version. I guess the other weird part of this is I see that specific version of the wellness girly because I'm not naive enough to not appreciate that the algorithms on TikTok, on Instagram, on everything else are showing me someone who looks a bit like me. If I were part of a different kind of facet of society, would I see more black women or women of color or non-binary people in the wellness world? Potentially. I still think we would find that it's predominantly the very slim, white, blonde, brunette wellness girly. And that's where I find it a bit harder to get over because it feels like we haven't actually evolved that much since Girl Boss, and I think we want to think we have.
I feel like it's a weird kind of contradiction, because like fundamentally, absolute bottom line of this, and why I don't think it's bad to the core, is that taking care of yourself is not selfish. Like, you should be doing whatever is right for you. That doesn't mean you have to get up at 5 a.m. It doesn't mean you have to drink greens. It doesn't mean you have to go to the gym at all. Like, but taking care of yourself is obviously important. And I do feel like the more the image is perpetuated online, it's almost trying to make people. I think when I said it's a product of the time, I think it's because like the cost of living is high. Our generation is being priced out of housing markets. Like, our wages are not keeping up with inflation. There's all of these things that now are making the girl boss and like her, like the woman in business idea more challenging, because job security, career security is not as tangible.
We're burnt out
But
as
something
well.
like this,
Like, we're all
Yeah,
burnt out.
whereas something like this is, yeah, now we're like legitimizing the concept of balance in our lives. Like you need balance, you need wellness, you need, and so it's almost like controlling the uncontrollable, which I think is great. But then just wellness is supposed to be like taking care of your individual needs, but then the sheer fact of it being a trend is not individual, and it doesn't mean that it's right for everyone. Like it's not, like you said, it can't be prescribed because it's such a movement rather than specific and individual.
That's the thing, isn't it? Part of me looks at it and goes, this is amazing because we're democratizing the information of wellness and the prioritization of it. Like 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was only celebrities. It was only the uber rich who even knew what reformer Pilates was and could do that, who could have access to nutritionists and advice on the gut microbiome and the benefits of staying hydrated and all and like the best skincare. All of those different facets of wellness were exclusive to a certain group of people. And thanks to Instagram, thanks to TikTok, thanks to Pinterest, more people know about that. And that's a really good thing. If that as a generation means that we're not as chronically stressed, we're not drinking as much, we're not putting our bodies under the stress of constantly having too much caffeine from coffee, and we're looking at things like matcha instead and green tea, great. That is a good thing. It does just feel like it's a bit of a copy and paste exercise, though, because you like fasting works really, really well for you. It does not work well for me. However, the internet would have us believe that you're in the right and I'm in the wrong. But that is not as simple as that. And I worry that I think the reason the girl boss trend became as toxic as it did is that we were all pursuing a very certain type of success, a very certain type of validation. And it feels even more kind of like uncomfortable, I guess, to see the same thing be done with wellness when wellness is all about you and what's right for you and improving your life. And it's a bit of like a,
Here's a
oh.
question. Do you feel like both movements have been predominantly held or, I guess, populated by millennials?
Yes. I didn't even think about that answer, but yes. And
I just, it baffles me. And at the same time, I kind of see why, because I just feel like we spent years prioritizing ambition and chasing career growth. Now we see that it's not sustainable, and we're hitting that point of like burnout and seeing that the world isn't necessarily on our side, without sounding like dramatic and martyr and whatever. But like
yeah.
things are challenging, and then this other trend has come along, and I feel like it's been massively seized upon by millennials. But I don't see, like, I feel like there's a lot of those characteristics in, why do I, Gen Z? Yeah, I always want to say Gen Z. I'm like, oh, American.
I want to say Gen Z, but it is Gen, like, we should say Gen Z.
Yeah, and I see a lot of the tr like the partying less, the kind of the better balance of things. I don't know, maybe I'm overgeneralizing, but I see it a bit more, but without like the massive swing of it being a trend. I don't know. I just feel like it's more millennial again.
Or is it that Gen Z aren't partying as much, drinking as much, or there's a subsection of them that aren't partying as much, aren't drinking as much, all of those things, because they're aspiring to the wellness girly that are the millennials. And
Which is their
actually,
girl boss
we did, yeah,
thing.
exactly. We did that with Girl Boss. It was like the older millennials, Gen X, who were going after the girl boss. And that's what we went after. So we kind of assimilated to part of it and then went all wellness. And Gen Z are going wellness, and there'll be another thing. And I remember years ago, years and years and years ago, watching an interview with, I can't remember who it was. It was a really popular influence at the time. She was in her kind of early to mid-40s and saying how, like, nowadays, so like our generation, don't go out and have wild partying and stuff. And it's so sad. They feel like they're not enjoying their life. And I listened to it and I was like, yes and no. Because I still feel like we went out and we partied and we had all those crazy times, but also we just did it in less excess, maybe in certain ways, or we didn't talk about it in the same way. And I found myself the other day thinking the same about Gen Z, and I was like, but that's, it's contextual. And actually, if I hadn't drunk as much, if I hadn't gone out as much in my early to mid 20s, I probably wouldn't have been so anxious as I was. Like, have Gen Z just like focusing on wellness? Like, I don't think it's a bad thing to want to give yourself the best chance of being the best version of you.
And I think that's why fundamentally it's not a bad concept. I
It's
feel like
pressure.
maybe it's a, yeah, it's the pressure. And I think that really plays into like it being another iteration of like confidence culture for women. Like it's an identity to kind of affiliate to that feels good. Like Girl Boss felt good, right? Like it's empowering. Like women can have these visits. Like it felt good. And then now you look at it and you see that it was not great. I almost feel like maybe Wellness Girly is the next version where it gives women the confidence to feel empowered and to take control of their health or their wellness or whatever. And maybe it feels more legitimized just by it being a trend and the sheer volume of people doing it. It plays into that confidence, which then just brings us back to the patriarchy in the whole, like the first place anyway.
I
Why
was
do we
gonna
feel the need to have
say,
our confidence validated?
I was gonna say, like, why do we have to feel like we're allowed to prioritize our wellness? We're only allowed to do it now because society's saying it's a trend and it's commercialized and we can do it. Like, that feels wrong. But it also kind of makes you wonder, is it gonna be the new clean eating? Like, if you think back, like 2015, 2016, 2017, the rise of clean eating on the internet and fundamentally came from a good place, having less processed food. But actually, what it was, I think for so many people, and probably if I'm being perfectly honest, myself included, it was a way in which you could restrict your diet and have some really disordered eating patterns under the guise of doing the right thing for your health. I now look back at that time. There was an interview with Alice Living, whose like Instagram handle was Clean Eating Alice. I had her Clean Eating Alice cookbooks. She recently said how like she has a lot of regret over that time and she feels a real responsibility of her part in that movement. And I wonder how much of the wellness girly falls into that as well. And
Well, I think similar. Sorry, go on.
I love being in the gym and seeing 18, 19-year-old women come in and they are like either glammed up or they're there with their spot treatments on and their hair mask. And I'm like, God, I could never have had that confidence. And I love seeing them there lifting heavy things, doing it for all the right reasons. I love that. I think, God, I wish I had had that confidence 10 years ago. But then I also think, is it because there's another pressure that's making you want to do that?
And then, like, what I was going to say is, I feel like the issue I felt with clean eating, especially when I look back, is, and I just felt like it was unobtainable because I couldn't afford clean eating foods. Like, processed food is obviously more affordable. So, again, you're then putting like an economic, I guess, boundary or restriction on who can actually access that trend. And I do feel like, at least the way that the wellness girly trend is being portrayed, that also exists again. Like you have to, you wear this fitness wear, you have this water bottle, you sign up to this gym, or you have this membership, or like whatever it might be. That
She
sounds horrible,
says,
Stanley Cup.
I'm sitting there with my Stanley Cup and my Woupon and my Adenola activewear in the corner ready for me to slip on and go to the gym. And like, we're part of
It's
it,
not like
but
it's
it's
not a
not bad.
criticism because it's
No.
it's not, but it's then suggesting that the only way you can be a part of it is if you have these things, which is how marketing and how capitalism works anyway. This is all such a big conversation in the grand scheme of things, but I think that's more of what the issue is with how it's portrayed online, that you can only do this if you do it this way, and that's just fundamentally not the case.
That's where I start to feel uncomfortable about all these things. You have to prescribe to do it in a certain way, otherwise you can't do it at all. And that isn't right or fair and kind of really goes against what the principle of wellness and bettering yourself actually is.
I agree. I feel like it's about 20 different conversations we could have in like different
God, I feel like we
spin-offs.
could literally do such, like, I could talk about this all day. I find it so interesting. Maybe we'll do a part two. If you want a part two, let us know, because I feel like there's a lot more we could say on this.
Yeah. And if we ever do discuss something that you hear and you're like, I would love to hear more on that angle, please do let us know, because obviously there's about 10 different topics we could have spoken about in here. So if one of them interests you, please do give us a message.
Yes. You can contact us on Instagram at Growth in Progress Pod. We'll leave that in the show notes. You can also drop us an email. We mentioned last week we're working on something really exciting for our 200th. Can you believe we're nearly at 200 episodes? It's wild to
I
me.
know.
Absolutely wild.
Crazy.
But for our 200th episode, we are planning something really exciting. There will be some links going out on Instagram in the next week or so about like signing up for it, all of those sorts of fun things. So be sure to check us out over there, hit follow. But in the meantime, we hope you have a brilliant week. We're going to be back next week. I can't remember what we said our topic was for next week, but if you hit subscribe, hit follow on whatever platform you're on, you'll find out anyway. So it's fine.
Bye.
Right, we will speak to you all later. Bye.
Bye.